Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo, coming to you live for the Built Ford Tough studio.
Did you see that Deion Sanders had his Mike Gundy moment?
I'm a man, I'm 40.
Don't be picking on the guys. Don't be picking on the college players because, you know, they're tender and they have feelings.
They're not professionals. I did not see the Deion Sanders rant. I mean, if this were 1985, maybe I could understand someone saying that, but especially with the guys that he has on his team that are very public with their nil deals, that does open you up to a little bit more criticism.
Yeah, so. I think so too, and also the way that they act on the field towards other teams or other fan bases. Past week they beat Colorado State, which they beat last year, and you know it's a rival, but Colorado State is not that good this year. And, you know, here's the team that comes in 0-2, wins a game against a team that's obviously lesser than them, but yes, is flashing the fans and things of that nature. So, so then he has to lecture the media because he believes the media is jealous of the amount of money that the kids in college are now making.
I mean, if that were the case.
And that the media is picking on these kids because they're making this amount of money.
No.
And he's trying to say that, you know, you got to. And I think Mike Gundy did it when he did it back when he, you know, did it for Oklahoma State. When he did that, was 10, 12 years ago now?
Yeah, it was a long time, yeah.
I mean, it's a completely different set of circumstances than where we are today.
Sure. And I don't think if it were the case that the media were jealous of players and that's why they're picking on them, then pro sports would, you'd never be able to cover it. Yeah. I mean, there might be an outlier here or there. With a media member being like, I can't believe this kid is making this much money and I'm sitting here grinding, maybe an outlier here or there, but that person's not going to make it very long because that's extremely unprofessional and you can't cover sports that way.
Yeah, he casts these aspersions as to why the media may be critical of a player and his decision making or dropping a ball or whatever. And he is basically saying, look, they're all, you know, young men. And look, I'm not in that locker room, so I don't know these players that are playing for him. He knows his son better than I do, obviously. But, he is claiming that, you know, the media is like, they make more money than me, so therefore I'm going to criticize them and I'm going to run them into the ground, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he goes, the landscape has changed in football, Sanders said. Once upon a time, you guys never attacked college players. Now they're making more money than y'all, and some of y'all are envious and jealous about that. So you're on the attack. It was hands-off a college player because he was an amateur. Remember? Remember that, guys? Now it's hands-on. Go at him any kind of way you want. They're making more money than me, and I'm mad about it.
I mean, it seems kind of juvenile, doesn't it?
Deion saying, or what is he implying?
No, I mean, like, saying the way that he's saying it.
I mean,
you want to say, hey, look, you know, you're getting a little bit too critical, and I understand why you're getting critical, because these guys are making money, that's one thing. But to say that the media is jealous of the players making money?
If that is true, and there's one person out there that's doing that, then that person sucks, and probably won't make it very long in journalism or covering a team. But to me, that seems... I know the money wasn't the same as it is now, but obviously NFL players were making a hell of a lot more money than reporters were when you played. Did you feel like there were reporters that were jealous of your salary?
Only Rich Cimini. No, I'm just kidding. Maybe Mark Canizzaro, who knows? Maybe all of them. I have no idea. No, I never once thought that, but Deion's team is going through a lot of criticism, you know, for losing, and it's the hype train. You know, other college coaches can't stand it.
Yeah.
You know, and I just think that if you're covering Colorado State, for instance, and they're not a very good team, and they're trying to become a good team, and all of a sudden you run into this hype train as the Colorado Buffaloes, and the Buffaloes haven't played well under Dion, and let's say you're a media member covering Colorado State, don't you think that you could see them being a little bit negative towards Colorado, given all the hype and the lack of success?
Well, yeah, of course. 100%. But is it coming from, who's it coming from? The people that call, people that cover Colorado, people that cover Colorado State?
Who knows? I mean, like, that's the thing around here. There are so many different fan bases that are represented around here. So, like, if the Jets go south for some reason, doesn't stop somebody who's a Patriot fan from calling in here and criticizing the Jets. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that
right.
kind of thing.
Of course. I mean, what I don't understand about Dion right now is why he's always on the offensive with everything. Like, is this a thing to inspire his players? I mean, every time I look up, there's Dion Sanders in some sort of commercial. I saw him in, was it KFC he just did? There was another one I just saw with him.
Affleck.
Affleck, him and Affleck. I mean, he's been
like the face of college football since he took over Colorado. Well, so he's raised it. Well, I mean, I understand when he was at, you know, at his previous spot, it was a little bit different. Now it's a really high profile spot, and he's in every one of these commercials.
But he's also been a failure as a head coach at Colorado, not at his original place, but he's been a failure there. The team stunk last year after it got off to a good start. They completely fell apart. They were terrible, and now so far, what are they, one and two?
Yeah.
2-1.
They're 2-1. So
they
won
North first road to state.
They lost to Nebraska.
They got hammered by Nebraska. That's what happened.
28-10. All right. And they beat
Colorado State and North Dakota State.
Yeah. I mean, okay. So they beat North Dakota State.
Yes.
they're a legit FCS team.
Yeah, okay, but were they favored in that game?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm not sure why. You know, he also banned, I guess, a CBS reporter from asking questions.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, he's had it going on now for about the last 4 or 5 weeks with the media. And, you know, who knows? Maybe he is playing mind games with this team.
I mean, just to get him inspired. Like, everybody wants us to fail. Everybody's against us, that type of thing. I mean, in the past.
21 years old, and you're making, like, his son, I guess, is making probably close to $5 million, if not more.
Yeah, I mean, I remember he flashed that Rolex or whatever it was to the crowd after he scored a touchdown.
So. Yes. So I guess you can understand why there's going to be some criticism coming towards the kids as well.
Yeah, so they've got Baylor this week, and then they've got UCF after that, and then they play Kansas State, who's ranked in the top 15 after that, at least as of right now. And it doesn't look like they play a lot of...
Well, they're in the new Big 12.
Right. Houston, and the BYU, new Big 12 UCF.
Is, yeah, I mean, it's
West Virginia.
Yeah, but West Virginia was in the Big 12. I mean, you know, yes, Big 12 like, lost Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah, they got, I mean, as far as right now, the ranked teams that they're playing, this could obviously change. There's just three of them coming up. Yeah, Utah, Kansas State, and Oklahoma State. And they lost to ranked Nebraska. So that's where they're at right there. They're not ranked either, obviously. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, everybody thinks he's either going to, you know, go to Florida State or go to the Cowboys. I mean, he's got to show that he can actually coach first, doesn't he?
The thing about Florida State is, you know, 0-3, not good. Not good. And, you know, that wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility unless the people at Florida State don't want him there. I mean, I thought didn't he have some sort of issue with Florida State as well? I thought he did. I don't know.
I don't know either. I think it was, I saw somebody, it might have been Pac-Man Jones, actually, that said that he thinks that Florida State and Deion Sanders are on a collision course for one another.
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's going to be a lot of fans down there that would want him there.
I mean, think about
I don't know what the buyout at Colorado is, though.
Yeah, I also don't. I mean, think about the unbelievable fall that Florida State has been from missing out on the postseason last year to coming back this year and starting. Oh, I mean, it's horrendous. But anyway, yeah, so Dion keeps the headlines churning, doesn't he?
Yes, he does.
One thing he's very good at is doing that.
Yeah, he's raised a lot of money for Colorado. He certainly has. I mean, that part of it, the promotional part of it and everything else, that's probably second to none.
Yeah.
I can't think of another coach right now in college football that would be close to that.
As far as...
The only guy that I think that they could probably get a huge deal in college from where he's coaching right now, and he's successful where he's coaching right now, and they do have a lot of money, and they are one of the well-funded programs in all of college football. I can't imagine him ever leaving. Do you know who I'm talking about, Eddie?
Kirby Smart?
Nope. Dan Lanning from Oregon. You know, could you see like a major, like Oregon's a major school.
Well, didn't they, I mean, they went after him in Alabama, didn't they?
They did.
And he didn't want to leave? Didn't that happen? I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not as into the college football as right, Eddie? This is a right Eddie spot here.
This is a right Eddie spot.
This is definitely a right Eddie spot, yeah.
I kind of feel like he's the next coach that if somebody really wanted to go after somebody and pay them a godforsaken amount of money, he would be the guy. In college football.
But Oregon could pay a lot of money.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, underwritten by Nike. Phil Knight, yeah.
Yeah. You know what's really going to be interesting is, once again, the NFL coaching carousel that will be going on at the end of this year with both Belichick and Vrabel out there. It's going to be, both those guys are getting jobs this year.
Belichick and Vrabel out there, and then you got to believe that, you know, Ben Johnson, the offense coordinator from Detroit, is going to be out there. Maybe Slowick from Houston is going to be out there, depending on how they do.
Maybe Bill O'Brien.
Maybe Bill O'Brien gets back into the league after I don't know. Is he going to leave Boston College after 1 year?
If he has a huge year and somebody says, hey, this guy won a ton of divisions in the AFC South with the Texans back in the day, I mean, why not? Went to the playoffs. Somebody, I mean, you could do a hell of a lot worse than the Bill O'Brien resume.
Yeah, but if you're the AD for BC, and I don't know how this all went down, but, you know, you take this job because there's really nobody else out there interviewing for a job, don't you say to him, hey, look, I'm trying to make a decision here, and I'm looking down the road 5 to 10 years. Do you still want to be here 5 to 10 years if we have success? Or are you going to leave like after a year or two if you do have success here?
Well, it'd be like
you got to protect the school in some way.
I mean, I would also say if I'm Bill O'Brien, yeah, every other coach in the world leaves programs like this if they have success. So that's a you problem, not me.
Yeah, but maybe Boston College said, look, we want you to come here. We want you to have a job. We want you. We know you love the Northeast. You were at Penn State. You had success. You know, is this your last stop? Like, you got to protect the school in some regard.
Yeah, but you also got to be not naive to the fact that if he does such a great job there and he's had success in the NFL, that NFL teams will interview.
Hey, look, I'm a Bill O'Brien fan, but he's not 35 or 40. He's not Mike Vrabel.
No, he's not. But he's also not 80.
True. Steve in Tampa, what's happening, Steve?
Hey, good morning, Boomer and Joe. Love you guys. The reason Florida State fans are so upset with Deion is because he took Travis Hunter to Colorado over Florida State.
That's right.
He was supposed to go to Florida State. I'm a Gator fan myself, so I don't care that Florida State's not happy.
So they're still holding that grudge of, like, Deion ended up turning this season around and Colorado's riding high and Shador goes into the NFL draft, as we all expected.
Well, Travis Hunter's going to be a top five player in the draft.
Yeah, right. Travis Hunter, too, that Florida State would maybe let that go and say, hell, you know, Deion, especially with the season that they're having, Deion would be the best bet for us.
That's what it sounds like from the Florida State fans I know. I'm friends with quite a few of them, unfortunately, but they seem to be upset about that. I'm a Gator fan. I have no room to speak either, so we have a tough time going right now with Billy Napier.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm sure that if Deion...
Man, those college fans, man, they are... You think pro fans are tough. You go down into that SEC, man, you better win within the 2 years that you're there or you're out.
I've never referenced a take by this man before in my life on the show because I know what type of show he does, which is like bait people in with things. But I don't know if he was actually doing that bait people in thing with this take. But in the same vein of what you're talking about, crazy NFL fans and crazy fans, that Colin Cowherd said that Philadelphia Eagle fans should stop focusing on being crazy football fans and understand they're in a swing state that could determine the next president of the United States. Like, you can't do both. Like, what? Like,
If that really was a take, now you had this on the show sheet, Al, correct? Is that where I saw this?
Yeah, I have the audio if you'd like.
Is he being facetious?
Well, let's see.
All right.
Now let's talk Philadelphia. Very popular team. I'm actually concerned about the state of Pennsylvania. You do realize, if you look at all the polling, you're going to decide the presidential election. We need adults in the room here, not throwing a tantrum every time you lose a football game. Folks, Saquon catches the football, you're 2-0. You beat a team, if he catches the football, in Green Bay that could win their division, and Atlanta could win theirs. Kirk Cousins is good. It happens. It's football. Your division's a mess.
I think that's probably it, right?
He's not smiling.
Yeah, I kind of feel like,
I mean, there's so many problems with that. I'm not even sure where to start with. Like, first of all,
where do you hear that?
That too. But, like, you're essentially insulting the people who have listened to your program and have made sports a priority in their life. To a point where they're not smart enough to be able to vote if they care that much about football.
We have people that are stupid.
Right, there's that to begin with. There's number two, you think like that, I don't know. Listen, I am with the there's a lot of dumb people that vote thing. Like, I've made those jokes before. Like, that person can vote. He's allowed to vote. Like, I've made those.
Of course, yes.
I've made those things before, but to say that I'm worried about Philadelphia because you guys care so much about the Eagles and also can vote is that right there could be the worst sports take ever. I mean, and I'm not exaggerating.
You're ranking that as the worst sports take ever?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That he is worried about the state of Philadelphia picking...
The state or the city?
The state of Pennsylvania.
Yes, okay.
The state of Pennsylvania and who they vote for based on Eagles fans. I think it has to be considered as one of the... I mean, first of all, Pennsylvania, big state, very big state. There's Western where I live. There's Eastern where Philadelphia is. There's Harrisburg. There's a lot of state colleges, a lot of places in Pennsylvania. And he's just like, I don't know. You with me on this? I mean, it seems a little nuts. Well, I mean, have you ever looked at a crowd of NFL fans and just made a broad judgment about their ability to vote?
We have losers. We have losers.
Right. He's right. I kind of agree with that.
Cowherd?
No.
Oh.
I don't know what to tell you. I mean, I really don't. I mean,
okay. All right.
I guess I understand what you're saying, but everybody's saying a lot of things right now.
Yeah, but.
And he's just one of them, just like we are. We're all one. We're all saying whatever we want to say.
They're eating the pets.
No,
good
I
luck
know.
With traffic getting home, by the way.
Trust me, I understand we all say a lot of stuff, but I just think it's kind of nuts to say that you're worried about the presidential election based on how Eagles fans reacted to that loss. Like, I don't know. That to me is a little, that's much. You want to be worried about the presidential election because all the stuff you see in politics, on social media, craziness, and two assassination attempts, and you want to be worried about that? Then okay, fine. But the way that the Eagles reacted to Saquon Barkley dropping the football, you're going to drag the election into that? What? That's a little much. I mean, whatever. I don't know.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I'm John Aran, Puck's sports correspondent, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity, where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I want to play this while Jerry is in here because there's a lot of Jerry connections. Jerry knows this guy. Jerry was around when this guy was around, I believe, right?
If you're going to play what I think you're playing,
yeah,
yes,
Russ,
I was.
Russ Salzburg, yeah. You were working with
Salzburg
him.
Salzburg and Summers, yeah.
Yeah, the Schwede and the Schmooze.
Yeah.
So someone tags us on X with this Russ Salzburg take. And it's a little video called Get a Load of This. Get a Load of This with Russ Salzburg. And he implies something here and suggests something here without naming somebody. And I want to play it, and I want to see if we can figure out who he's talking about. So go ahead, Al.
Back in the day when the Tuna, Bill Parcells, was leading the Giants to not one but two Super Bowl championships, he would often say there are three things that can beat your team. A was the opponent, obviously. B, division within. And C, the media. The media. Now, let's fast forward to today. I'm not suggesting that the media right now is beating the current Giants. Okay? But I will say this. There are some members of the media, one in particular, who would like nothing more than to beat the Giants down, to bring them down. It's his agenda.
Wow. Now, we knew back in the day that Manish was looked at that. Manish made of the Daily News with the Jets was looked in that way. So if he had said that 10 years ago about the Jets media, all of us would have said Manish is the guy. And he ended up going way too far, getting fired, and who knows where he is now. There's two people that cover the Giants that are more high profile than others, but I don't look at either one of them as trying to drag the Giants down. I look at them as guys who cover a team that has stunk in recent memory, and that's that. Now, those two guys, one would be Pat Leonard, the other would be Jordan Renan.
Who, Brian Daboll called by first name the other day.
And he called their Pat questions. By Pat name, first
correct.
Name too. Both
yes,
of them.
Correct.
Pat and Jordan. Mm-hmm. Those are the two guys.
Yeah.
I mean, is he referring to one of those two?
I don't know.
I guess he would have to be. I can't think of anybody else.
It certainly ain't Paul Schwartz, who's like the nicest guy in the world.
Right.
I don't think it would be Gary Myers, who writes books about the organization.
Or
Phil.
Yeah, okay.
No, definitely not Phil. Art Stapleton's a good one, but I don't think it will be.
It's time for the Pauly Dot Spot.
Paul Dottino,
but I do think that it's got to be somebody that's an everyday writer that is covering them. You know, like, I always felt that both Cimini and Cannizzaro, who were covering us on the daily basis, they were fair. They were negative because we were losing.
Yeah, right.
And there's instability around the organization and things aren't going right, then they're just going to amplify that. And I think that's basically the human nature of their job.
The other thing I would say, though, too, when the product is what it is, It's kind of easy to look like you're trying to take them down because you're probably fed up with watching it.
That's exactly what I said. I said I look at Pat Leonard and Jordan Renan as two guys who are covering a bad team.
Yeah.
Like that. Like I don't know. But
I never got the feeling that they were out for somebody.
No, me either. I got the feeling that Manish was.
Yeah, that's a different story.
Remember 2 weeks ago when Jordan asked Kayvon Thibodeau? I mean, he didn't even get the question out. Was just trying to ask about, like, the defense was supposed to lead this team, and they did, well, nothing in that first game.
Does anybody else have a question?
Yeah, and he completely cut him off and shut him down, which seemed like a fair question.
Yeah.
So maybe there is something to that.
Interesting. Well, something to the fact that maybe the Giants feel that
way. Yes,
but
correct.
Maybe not that's the agenda of the reporter.
No. I'm saying in terms of how they feel about him, potentially. I don't know. So I thought that was a weird reaction to a very legitimate question.
I mean, Jordan also writes for ESPN.com, does he not? Mm-hmm.
Like, I believe so.
It's not like the...
Well, it's like Semenya. Semenya covers the Jets and he writes for ESPN.com.
But back in the day when he covered like Semenya was never looked like... You would think it would be the Post-columnist or the, you know...
Well, he was the Daily News columnist at the time.
Right, but what I'm saying is I feel like the...
Well, not the columnist, he was the beat writer.
Like the local reporter in the Post or the Daily News back in the day and even the Post today maybe... would be the one, not the guy who's covering a team locally on a national outlet, especially when it's Disney and ABC and all that stuff. You know,
maybe it's the bleep stir himself, Neil Best.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely... he's a virus, that guy, when he gets, when he gets in a locker room.
What a dick.
Who said that, Al? That's your Bradley Beach brother.
How could you say such a thing?
Or what voice I was doing there.
What? Is that new? It's got to be new.
Yes. Monday.
Wow.
Oh, the podcast. That's right. Forgot about that.
And
I don't remember the context. I just remember because Al doesn't usually say things like that very often.
Yeah, that's why.
So he has to go into a different voice.
Right. I must have been being somebody else. Like someone Yeah, I don't know what.
Was it about the rules, people following the rules? Like, we need laws. Remember we had that conversation?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Eddie, you clipped it. Any idea?
I think he was doing a voice of someone calling him that.
Yes, because people get on him for trying to help enforce the rules or make them aware of the rules.
What a dick.
All right. That's great.
All right, Jerry, what do you have, man? We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We're also brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We will get you to the late game first. Yankees Mariners in Seattle.
The pitch. Swinging a hard shot down the left field line. That's a fair ball. It's going to roll all the way to the corner. Early scoring for the Yankees. Torres touches home. Soto jogs in. A Rosarena throws it in just now as Aaron Judge drives in two. A two-run double. Yankees up 2-0.
Oh, he drove in two more. Justin Shackle on the fan. He would drive in two more with a single in the second inning to put the Yankees up 4-0. They would beat the Mariners 11-2. That having been said, we played this earlier. Seattle with the bases loaded, two out. Justin Turner had a 3-0 count. What in the hell is Victor Robles doing as we hear from Shackle again on the fan?
Here comes Robles going for home. The throw home. He is out at home plate. Robles broke for home, trying to go for the steal. Heel to Wells. Austin Wells put the tag on, and the Yankees get out of the inning with Seattle scoring nothing.
You know, watching that again, too, he mistimed the break because if he goes as heel, picks up the rosin bag, he's safe.
Yeah.
As opposed to as he's getting up from picking up the rosin bag, but he was out. And it was a what-in-the-hell-are-you-thinking moment. 11-2, the final. Also in this game, Juan Soto, the 40th home run of the season, 200th of his career. Here was Soto on Yes.
It's another goal for my career. I feel really happy about it, really excited. And what a best way to do it, winning the game.
But also says can't stop now.
Keep doing the same thing. Keep focused. At the end of the day, even if we win tomorrow, we're going to keep trying to go all the way, try to win the division. That's the first step that we want to do. But definitely... keep doing what we've been doing. Keep playing good baseball.
And they can clinch a playoff spot with a win tonight. Right now, a four-game lead on the Orioles atop the AL East. You've got, as TV is showing, Soto and Judge, the third set of Yankee teammates, each at 40 homers in a season, joining Ruth and Gehrig, who did it three times. Mantle and Maris did it in 1961.
Sorry, Jerry, I just want to get this in since we're on this topic. Mike in Freehold, what's going on, Mike?
I know who that guy's talking about. It's DT, is the media member.
Brandon Tierney? No, it's not. Come on.
Yes, the past 2 days he's been saying fire Gable.
He might be saying that, but Russ Salzburg's talking about someone who covers the team in the locker room with microphones interviewing the players, not guys on talk show hosts.
Nah, it's definitely BT. Come
on. Take it up your ass!
BT's going for the firing of Brian Daboll?
I guess.
Because I've listened a lot, I think it's more so if things don't get better.
Okay.
I don't think he means today. I mean, if they go 2-15, you got to figure this out with someone else.
Stop walking around work like a loser!
Mets did beat the Nationals 10-1. You know who's not getting fired? Carlos Mendoza. The Mets are now 83-68. Pete Alonso showed a pulse last night. 3-for-5, tie-breaking, 2-run single, a 3-run homer. Here was the single by Keith Rad.
1-2 pitch. Floated in the air over first. Down the line, it's a fair ball. This will score 2. Acuna is in. Iglesias behind him. Marte gets to third. Alonso, a bloop single to right. He scores a pair, and the Mets take a 3-1 lead.
Yeah, part of a 10-1 win. Luis Angel Acuna was 3-for-4. First career home run. 3 hits for Jose Iglesias. Tyrone Taylor.
Acuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase. Acuna Matata. He can make big plays.
Oh, so that's what we're doing now.
Well, that's Real Black. Our buddy Real Black 14. The Jingle Man. He's the one who's JD Davis 877 runs now.
That was him.
Yes. Yeah, Vientos freshness, fresh Vientos. You know, now he
instead of Mentos.
Yeah, yes. He did that one. He's had some others that didn't really hit hard, but I thought that Acuna Matata was good enough to give a little bit of a shot.
Sounds good to me. Mets now lead the Braves by 2 games. Atlanta lost to Cincinnati 6-5, tied with the Diamondbacks, who were beaten by Colorado 8-2. Jose Quintana to start tonight. First pitch on Mets Radio at 7:10. Howie Rose with BT and Sal on the Fan today at 11 a.m.
Is that a weekly spot?
I believe it is now, yes, through the rest of the season.
All right.
I believe so. What do we have time for? Not much. We got the Giants signing kicker, Greg Joseph. We've got the Jets taking on the Patriots tomorrow night. Here's one from Aaron Rodgers. He's obviously the old man in the room, old man of the league. He talks about the age disparity. Now, you look across the field, then you've got the head coach, Gerard Mayo, is someone he's obviously very familiar with.
It just gets a little weird when, you know, you're playing against head coaches you played against. You're playing with guys that could be your kid, age-wise. Yeah, it's a good reminder of how special it is to still be playing at 40.
It's like being around here. We look around, we could all be the parents of a lot of these kids that now work here, which is freaky.
Am I at that
You're
point
close.
Now?
You're very close.
I mean, I'm 42.
Yeah, I mean, you get a 22, 23-year-old. It's a little far-fetched, but it's possible. Sure, you'd be 19 and be a dad. But it's very real for the four of us.
But it wasn't until I was 36. You know, I mean, I waited a long time because I wanted to wait a long time.
Plenty of 19-year-old dads out there.
Yes, there are.
But for the four of us, it's very real. In some cases, could be their grandfathers, almost.
Now I don't know who you're talking about.
Well, it's true. What?
No, I know. I don't know who could
you be. You have a kid at 20, grandkid at 40. It's very possible.
I'm Boomer Esiason.
It could be Eddie, too. I wasn't pointing out Boomer.
Grandpa Eddie. It'd be so weird. Wouldn't that be so strange?
We saw a guy that looked like Eddie the other day on the golf course.
Yeah, I know. It was
shave.
Oh, it was crazy. Yeah, if Eddie cut his hair, I actually thought it was Eddie surprising us. That's how much.
Yes.
I was like, what?
Wow.
The same outfit, same just every aura, skin tone. But he had a hat on, and
he had no long hair. So I figured it out for a second, but I was like, it was very, very odd.
The same way.
He was just standing there. Yeah, just, you know,
just doing what Eddie would normally do.
Yeah.
Just stand there.
Unbelievable.
All right, moment of the day brought to you by the family of Casamigos Tequilas, Añejo, Blanco, Cristalino Reposado, Mezcal, and the new Casamigos Jalapeno. Casamigos Tequila brought to you by those who drink it, reminding you to enjoy each moment of your day responsibly. And this one, just because I really like this. Evan came up with a MetLife phrase for Giants fans: when they turn it around, if they turn it around, and it's accompanied by a song. The phrase is "Holy crap," which is also what the song is.
Holy crap.
Wait a second. What is that song? Is there a song named Holy Crap?
It's like an AI song that he created.
Holy crap, you're better than ever. Holy crap, shining bright like treasure. You know we're gonna win. Holy crap.
Holy crap is right, like I said.
Man. So he just put in a bunch of words into, like, ChatGPT.
Yep.
And it make me a rallying cry song around...
Holy crap.
Holy crap.
This sounds like an Izzo production.
Yeah.
Maybe it is. I don't know. I give it to him for creativity, though.
Yeah, I don't know if Evan could come up with that.
Well, not the AI part of it.
But. Well, this is Evan's speed.
Boo, boo, bee, ba, 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 boo, bee.
And, of course, there was an addition.
Roberts is a douche. That was better the second time.
Hearing both of them next to each other.
Yes.
Holy crap. You know what it is? It's because that AI voice sounds so fed up. You know, like, he sounds angry. Like a fed up, angry human. It's like, finally, you know what? I'm so fed up with this Evan Roberts, I'm going to record a song. So let's go, band. Let's go into the garage.
Holy crap. Evan Roberts is a douche.
Oh, I feel better getting that off my chest.
All right. Very good, Jerry.
Oh, boy.
Thanks, man. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep.
For a Thursday edition of the program with the Jets and the Patriots later that night. That'll be fun.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Oh, look at that. A ferry going into Casa Cipriani over there on the where exactly is that again?
South tip of Manhattan.
That's right.
Southern tip of Manhattan.
But like it's South Street Seaport. Is that that area? That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted. That was the thing. It was on the tip of my tongue. The South Street Seaport.
Yes, not easy to say.
Yeah, it's not easy to say. Earlier I was talking about Colin Cowherd making this comparison between Eagle fans and how the election is there and Pennsylvania is a swing state and Eagle fans shouldn't care about Saquon Barkley dropping a pass because the election is going to be happening in November. So it was confusing to me, but Alex in Brooklyn says that she can explain it to me a little bit better. Alex, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Gio. Hi, Boomer.
How you doing, Alex?
How's it going?
Okay, I listen to you guys every day.
Well,
sometimes I want to throw rocks at the television, but today I was listening to you, and you have to understand the importance of the state of Pennsylvania and Philadelphia alone. That will basically determine the election. Now, I watch you guys, and I see people so impassioned about sports, and I say, if they only put that passion into their real life and see what's going on around them, we would be a different country.
All right. First of all, a couple of things. One, we are, even though we talk about a lot of stuff, we are based in sports. So it's, you know, this radio station has been around since 1987. It's where passionate sports fans come to yell about their teams. There's many other places, especially in 2024, where people will go and yell about politics. I mean, you can't. Right, that are very passionate about it. So I don't think, like, just because people are yelling about sports, they're not passionate about politics and what's going on in the world.
No, but it seems like there's some kind of derangement I can't explain it because I listen to it. Sometimes I'm listening to it while I'm half asleep, and I hear these people talk about their team like it's like life or death. And believe me, it's not life or death.
You think that's new, Alex?
No, no, but now I feel like, I don't know, maybe because I'm in this world now that I'm in that I don't really want to be in. But, yes, I find like people, either they don't know what's going on. I hope they do, but it seems like they don't. They're so, like, focused on sports and what's going on that maybe they want to not know what's going on.
I don't think any of that is different, Alex. I do think that you can hear more voices and more opinions and are available whether you're on TV or radio or social media. So it's sort of what you're geared to, whatever your algorithm says. But, I mean, I could, in a world, put out all, like, you know, block out all the sports stuff and only focus on politics. I could block out all the politics stuff, only focus on sports. But, you know, you can't change what people are passionate about.
No, I think if you walk around here and you ask people a political question, they will give you an answer. They will. I think everybody knows what's going on. I think everybody feels what's going on, whatever side you lie on. And I do think that people understand what's happening. They see it. Now, the question is, can they change it if they want to change it, or do they want to make it what it is and embolden what it is?
Well, yeah.
And that's really what it comes down to. And I think a lot of people understand that. Around here, even the meathead sports fan that is running around this station understands what's going on in the streets, because a lot of these people take... They take their public transportation. They're in the mix, as they say, as real people that don't make a lot of money and have to make every dollar stretch.
Yeah.
They understand what's happening.
Sure. Yes. I also think when I was younger, I was more in the dark about things. When I got older and family and responsibilities and all the different things.
Well, once you have kids, everything changes. Now you have real responsibility.
Sure, certainly. There was something else I was going to say. Oh, yeah, when you said, can you do something about it? Well, I mean, the way things are in New York, the vote for the president is useless. It really is. I mean, it's gonna come up a blue state. It's not even going to be close. So, like, I know you could go with someone and say, well, if everybody stopped voting, well, it's not going to happen. So, but the way things are now, you're not going to see New York flip.
I still think, well, yeah, because Brooklyn's not going to flip. It's not going to change. Maybe it will change. You never know.
Not this election.
There's a lot of geopolitical stuff going on outside of this country that are affecting people in Brooklyn. So I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah, but not in this election. It certainly won't. All right.
You never know.
No, I think I do. I think every expert says New York penciled it as blue forever.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
I'm John Oran, Puck's sports correspondent,
and I have a new podcast called The Varsity,
where I will take you inside the executive suites and owner's boxes that run the entire sports business. Twice a week, I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media and give you a window into the inside conversations that are happening throughout sports media. So be sure to follow and listen to The Varsity Podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.